fish be and fish was, mammal be and mammal was. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Now we're going to start to see the list of the witnesses. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, a lot of these events you're going to find in the Old Testament, but we don't have time tonight to go through all of these because God's wanting me to get to a point. But if you don't know about Enoch, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And then he was not. And right here it says, and he was not found. If he was not found, it meant somebody was looking for him. Yeah. He was not found. God took him. All right? But without faith, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah built that ark, not even knowing what rain was. Before then, water would come up as a mist out of the ground. I remember that from Bible school. It was a big mist. Came up out of the ground. And so there was never rain. There was never any need for rain. God said, build a boat because I'm going to send rain. And Noah had to believe God by faith. He didn't know what it looked like. He didn't know what a flood would look like. He just knew he was going to get on the boat. And we've said this before, but you know, the first year, second year, maybe even 5 years, people might have believed him, Noah. Noah preached righteousness and he kept preaching. But then it was 10 years, then it was 50 years, 75 years, 100 years, 120 years. After 120 years of somebody saying, it's going to rain, God's going to flood the earth, and you need to get on the boat. You need to trust God. They're saying, sure, yeah, right. You've been saying that for 120 years. Yeah, literally. You've been saying that for 120 years. And he still had to believe God. God, I believe what you said, and I'm following what you said. And then in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That takes faith too. God says, come on, get up where you're at. I want you to go. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then Abraham had a wife named Sarah, and she's in the hall of faith as well. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged God faithful, who had promised. Notice she judged God. She judged him faithful. God, you're faithful. I may not see it. I may not know how it's going to happen. But God, you're faithful. I judge you faithful. Verse 12. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And that was from Abraham and Sarah. And out of them came Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. Which one was next? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So out of them came one, Isaac. And out of Isaac came 12. And out of 12 came as many as the stars and as many as the sands of the sea. And because of Jesus, we stepped into that. Amen. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you're part of that seed. That's what Ephesians tells us, Galatians tells us. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Notice they were assured of the promises, and they embraced the promises. They didn't just say, well, if it happens, it happens. They embraced it. Faith will embrace the promises of God. Faith will embrace what God says. And when you embrace something, when you embraced your spouse, you said, this is mine, he is mine, or she is mine. I am embracing them and I'm not letting go. When you embrace the promises of God, you do not let them go. You hang on to them. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, he received him before he even saw him. His faith was, God said, and it did take a few years, but he believed God. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, notice they did this by faith. In other words, they didn't always see it. They just knew what God said and decided to believe God. It was a decision that they made. Amen. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Listen, they were in Egypt at that time. And Joseph was blessing his sons, and Joseph was saying, there is going to be coming a day, because God said it would be 400 years that they would be in slavery. Joseph, the one that went in there, remember he went to Potiphar's house, and remember then he became the second man in charge, and then remember that the brothers all came, and so he had enough food to feed the whole nation because God spoke to Joseph. So now Joseph is at the end of his life. Joseph is blessing, and Joseph said, this is what's going to happen. So when, not if you ever get out of Egypt, not if you ever get out of slavery, not if you ever get set free, not if you ever get delivered, but when you get delivered, make sure you take my bones. Because God said, I'm going to be there too. Make sure you take my bones with you. That's what this verse is about. Make sure you take my bones with you, because you are getting out. Amen. You know, when we were children, I guess everybody did this. Sometimes I find out, no, we were weird and everybody else was normal. But you know how you and your siblings might have been playing around. And so my little brother was 3.5 years younger than me. So he was smaller than me for a long time. And then he got bigger than me and I had to really look out then. But sometimes I'd get him pinned down. I would get him pinned down. And of course, he's mad. And so then he'd say, when I get up, and I'd say, you're never getting up. Oh, yes, I am. when I get up. And then you realize, you know, I guess I do have to let him up sometime. And that's the way we need to be with the enemy. When I get up, because I am getting up. And when I get up, you better look out. Amen. Amen. All right, so by faith, let's see. In verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, this is where the king had commanded any child under 2 years old would be killed. Any Hebrew child under 2 years old would be killed. So by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. Moses looked to the reward. Now, if you don't know the story of Moses, when he was a child, all the Hebrew children had been commanded to be killed, and his parents hid him. And remember, they made a little basket for him, and they even put him in the river. And Miriam, his sister, went to watch where the baby was going to go. And Pharaoh's daughter found the baby. And so Pharaoh's daughter adopted him, but he was just a baby. So she said, I need somebody to nurse this child and raise this child for just a little bit. And so Miriam said, I know somebody. And so she took Moses back to his mother. And so then the mother has this little child until he's old enough to be weaned. Some people say it's 4, some people say it's 7. But he was old enough. She had him as many years as that may have been. And I believe this is what she was doing, because I was a mom and did it with my children. Honey, God has a great plan for your life. Honey, God rescued you when the king wanted you murdered. And just speaking these things. So by the time he did go to Pharaoh's house, he was raised under the Egyptian rules and everything that went along with that. But guess what happened? When he became of age, he had a choice, Egypt or with the slaves that were Hebrews. Which one? And he decided to go with the slaves. And he said, I choose God's people. Amen. And then we know that Moses eventually got God's people delivered. He's the one that went back to Pharaoh. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Him is capitalized. He endured as seeing God who is invisible. He was able to endure everything because he saw, or he focused on God. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Notice those walls didn't fall down. People had to be believing God. The whole group of them. All of them. They were all encircling Jericho. I always have to think of the song. So they were all encircling Jericho. And they were all told, do not say a word. I know it's because they'd be complaining. I know it's because they'd be saying, oh, man, we got to do this again. So they go around the first day. Then the women have to still cook their meal and all the things that go on, and showers have to be taken. And then they do the second day. And then they go the third day. And you know, about the fourth day, if they could talk, they'd be saying something. Then they're on the seventh day, and by then they're saying, I know God's got something that's going to happen here. And what God has said is these walls are going to fall. And now they're starting to build up each other. If we'll just go again, just go around another time, because God said these walls are going to fall. Just keep doing it. Just don't quit. If you don't quit, we win. So don't quit. We're not quitting. This has to be in their mind because they're not allowed to say anything. Come on. So somebody might be stumbling. Somebody might have blisters on their feet. Come on. Pick them up. Pick them up. We're going to keep going around this, because after we're done, God will do what he said he would do. And God did, and the walls fell. It was by faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fall me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, meaning foreigners. Please know, aliens mean foreigners. Okay? And it goes on and on. Women received their dead raised to life again. You know what's so cool about the Hall of Faith? It is still being written. Because after that, there have been men and women of God throughout all of history that made a decision to believe what God said, no matter what they saw. And we have to, because there's too many times we will get up from prayer and we'll come out and it will not look like what we just prayed. We feel really good in our closet of prayer. And you get up and you come out and you're just like, and so the Lord says, don't say nothing. Just walk. Just keep marching around. It's your promise. Don't say anything. Well, God, do you see what they're doing? Yeah, pick them up and take them with you. Just take them with you. This is still happening. There are things that are happening in the 21st century that it will take you believing God and you standing in faith. It is not just the people in the fivefold ministry. It is every born-again believer. You have things going on in your life, things that should not look like it does. And God is telling you, you get up and you go towards it. Now, you know David, he didn't just stand there, you know, when he was bringing food to his brothers. He was a shepherd boy, and his dad says, take food to your brothers. They're at war. They're fighting the Philistine Goliath. Who was a giant, almost, I guess, 9 feet tall, somewhere around there. And so David goes, and you remember that. His brothers get mad at him. What are you doing here? And he, you know, all of a sudden he sees this Goliath, Philistine, doesn't have a covenant with God, and he's coming against God's covenant people, and everybody's just sitting back, just waiting. And so David goes towards him. And his brothers are like, what are you doing? And he said, isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause? Doesn't he seem to be putting fear into the people of God? Isn't there a cause? If there's something that's going on in your life, you run towards it. You have to. You run towards it. And you take care of it in the spirit realm. And then seek God, take care of it in the natural realm. But you run towards it. You don't just sit back and just say, okay, well, whatever will be, will be. That is not a scripture. Que sera, sera is not a scripture. He has given you his word, and whatever he said will be. Amen. But he needs somebody that's still going to be at the hall of faith. And we're going to say, okay, God, I'll do it. I'll say it. I'll see it. I'll see it in the spirit. And I'll say it. And I'll go for that. And I'll go after it, God. He needs people in the hall of faith. Looking back to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these witnesses are these men and women of God that have gone through all of these things and they won. They went through all of this. I can't imagine being thrown in the lion's den. But Daniel was, and he won. I can't imagine being thrown in a fiery furnace, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, and they won. They came out. So these men and women of faith stood the test of time. I can't imagine being Sarah at 90 years old having a baby. Yeah, and one. And then Isaac, Abraham taking Isaac up and saying, okay, God, if you want me to sacrifice my only son, I'll sacrifice my only son. And he didn't have to. He won. Amen. They have done. They are the witnesses that have been before us. They've already done it. They've already witnessed and said, God is faithful. That's what that witness is. God is faithful. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So I looked up endurance races today, and I was looking for, what do they tell people that are training for an endurance race? Here were some steps, and you guys may know some, but where I was looking, it said this. They tell them, well, this had six things. Take one step at a time. Because an endurance race is not a sprint. It's the one where they keep going and they endure it. They keep going like a marathon, and they keep going and they keep going. Take one step at a time. Number two, stay focused. Don't let distractions interrupt you. Because if you're in a marathon, there's going to be a lot of things along the road that could distract you. How many miles is a marathon? 26 point something. And there's a lot of distractions. So stay focused in your spiritual life as well. Number three, break your run into short victories. Break your run into short victories. If I can do a block, I can do two. If I can do 1 mile, I can do two. Break it into short victories. Number four, make every discipline and training count. Every discipline and every training count. Now, in our spiritual life, we don't like to think that way because we don't think we need training anymore. Or we don't want to be disciplined, or we don't want to be corrected, or, you know, and the word is sitting right here correcting you, and you're like, oh, I'm sure that's for my spouse, not for me. It's for somebody else. I know who that's for. Let me just Facebook them right now and show them, tell them what God is saying. Make everyone count. Every time you receive a correction from the Lord or a discipline from him, make it count. I have a friend, she had a really bad year not too long ago. It was probably about 5 years ago now. And every time we would talk, she would say, all right, I'm going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you what my takeaway is. She decided to learn from everything that was happening. What's my takeaway on this? Number five, run long and run slow, because you got to finish. Number six, if you don't quit, you win. Jesus has set our race. Now let's look at this. So Marguerite and Steve, if you'd come back up. So in verse 2, so we saw Jesus was over here and the bride is over there. So go ahead and take your same positions. And so Jesus saw the joy that was set before him, But now it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So now it's not just Jesus that looked at the joy, the church, you, that was set before him. It's now you, the church, looking at Jesus and saying, he's the author of my faith and he's the finisher of it. So if he tells me something, I can do it because he gives me the ability. So if he's the author of my faith, in other words, he tells me what he wants and I do it, and I keep my eye on Jesus, who is also the Word. So I keep my eye on the Word, and no matter how difficult it is, my focus stays on him, because that's where I'm running to. I'm running to Jesus. That's where I'm running to. And so in life, we're walking towards him. And so I'm not going to get distracted. My faith isn't going to be distracted by all of these things that it could be distracted, because I'm keeping my eye on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Thank you, guys. The author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. You know, too often we've said things like, well, I don't think I have enough faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. So guess what? He gives it to me. If you feel like you don't have enough faith, faith comes by hearing the Word. And so you can always increase it by hearing the Word. But if he's the author of my faith and he's the finisher of my faith, I can't fail, because I'm keeping my eyes on him. Do you remember in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, when snakes were in the wilderness, where the children of Israel were? Snakes were in the wilderness, and God said, set up a pole with a serpent on the pole, and tell my people if they'll keep their eyes, the Amplified says, a steady gazing look. If they will keep a steady gazing look upon that serpent on the pole, the Bible actually says when they're bitten, they will not die. When I read that, I thought, I'd have to be bitten. Because, you know, there are snakes around here. If any snake is crawling up your leg, it's very distracting, isn't it? And so, but if they would just keep their eye on the serpent on the pole, they'd be healed. They wouldn't die. They've got children, babies. And I think I'd be hanging on them, is what I think I'd be doing, hanging on the children and babies and telling them, keep looking on that pole. Keep looking up on that cross. Look. Same thing. Jesus said, as the serpent was raised in the wilderness, so I will be raised. And so under the new covenant, we keep a steady gaze looking at Jesus. So there are distractions. There are things that happen. There are distractions. But if we'll keep looking at him, what will happen is he will tell us what to do. We're running our race. We're looking at him, and he's going to tell us what to do. We stop, and we take care of it. We do what he says to do. And then we look back at him, and we just keep walking. That's it. Sometimes we make it so difficult. I've heard people say, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian, so hard to be a Christian. I don't think so. I think it'd be... Well, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. The way of the sinner is hard. It's not hard to be a Christian because you have your focus on Jesus. Amen. You have your focus on him. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And guess what? If he started it, he's going to help me end it. I love the word of the Lord that came earlier, because Pastor Tim had no idea what I was teaching about. But at the end, it said something about finishing strong. If you stay focused or something like that, you'll finish strong. And I thought, wow, God, we're going to finish strong. Because he's the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Can we just stand and praise him for a little bit? Lord, you really are good. You really are good. You have us in this faith walk. And you're putting the stones in front of us, even when we don't see them. And God, as we keep our eyes upon you, it is you that we move towards. But it is not in our own ability. It is in your ability. You give us the grace and you give us the pace. God, we're not in a hurry and we're not just trying to rush through things, but we are just moving right along with what you're saying. We will stop when you tell us to stop, and we'll take care of things when you tell us what to take care of. But God, we're moving and we're moving forward. And you've already told us that we're part of a movement. We're part of something that you're doing on this earth. We're part of something that you're doing in this community. We're part of something that you're doing from valley to valley, all the way through this state and the tri-state area. And so there are things that are coming up that you've even spoken to our hearts. And God, we will do what you tell us to do. And we will stand in faith, the faith that you are the author of, and the faith that you increase as we spend time with you in the Word. Father, I pray over every marriage in the name of Jesus, and I pray for healing to take place in marriages. Father, I pray over every mind in the name of Jesus, and I pray that the power of God will saturate every person's mind to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray over every family in the name of Jesus, that you will be the center of every family. I pray over every bank account in the name of Jesus, and you will provide for every believer that's standing in Christ. Father, I pray over every relationship, brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, sons and daughters. We thank you for healing in families. God, we will stand in faith knowing what you want to do. We will stand in faith. And God, we will win. We will win. Hallelujah. We will win. Hallelujah.